Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. The Foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundationathearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
Last call don't mean not one damn thing to me. Well, it's just another cue for me to go get my next round.
Rock and roll, where are we? Who are we?
We are two-sixths, one-third of 49 Winchester. My name is Isaac Gibson. I'm the lead singer and the rhythm guitar player.
And I am Buzz Shelton, and I am the lead guitar player.
And where are you based?
We're based out of Castlewood, Virginia.
Let's go back in time. How did you all get together and come up with the name?
Sure. We're all childhood friends from a little bitty town in central Appalachia called Castlewood. Grew up together, known each other for a long time, been playing music with each other, me and Chase, the bass player. Since we first started playing music, we were next door neighbors, so everything that we ever did.
How old were you when you started?
I guess 11 or 12. When we got out of high school, we decided that what we wanted to do was be in a band. Rest is history, I guess. We've been at it ever since.
Your total band complement today is what? How many people you have?
Six.
In the instruments?
Two guitars, drums, bass, pedal steel, and keys.
And on your guitars, they're electric.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're Telecaster nuts.
Oh, nice.
Everything we play is a Telecaster.
Really?
Yeah.
The classic Telecaster? Classic.
Yeah. We even have a baritone Telecaster also.
Wow.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of Fender stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're working with them as a sponsored artist now, so.
That's double cool.
It's always a good thing to get those Telecasters even cheaper.
You ever find the old classics, the 50s?
Yeah, I don't own any. If I did, I don't know if I'd be brave enough to gig with them.
Yeah.
I've always, me personally anyway, I've always sort of looked at guitars as tools.
Mm-hmm.
They are. We beat them up, and they go through a lot of stress and a lot of wear and tear on the road. So, but Fender makes a great product that holds up.
So, subjective, personal, why is a Telecaster so awesome? What does it do that?
It's just simple. It's just super simple.
It is. That's one of the beauties of it. Two single coil pickups. Nothing else has that same two single coil spanky country funky sound that a Telecaster does.
One wood neck on a wood body, four screws and strings through it.
Sure. Everybody that I grew up, you know, loving their style playing wise, a lot of them played a Tele. So, you know, ever since I was a kid and first started getting into guitar, started on bass first, but the T style's always been my thing.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your music itself. Do you write your own music?
Yeah. We've always been hard to kind of put a finger on in terms of what it really is. Is it a rock band? Is it a country band? I think it's somewhere in between a lot of that. A lot of influence of what we do comes from, you know, Southern rock. We grew up listening to a lot of that stuff.
When you were a kid, what did you love listening to the most? Did you have
I think we all went through so many phases. I think that's kind of another thing that makes
the Lynyrd Skynyrd phase.
Everybody's
got that.
The phase when they dug into the Southern rock catalog real deep. We all went through periods in our life where we were metalheads and loved bands like Slipknot and Lamb of God and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that's a big part of really what makes us who we are now, is that we've never really ran from any of those influences, and we've never said we want to be a country band or we want to be a rock band. The only thing we've ever done is just kind of play what resonates with us, and that's kind of a little bit of everything.
So a wide breadth, then.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I think so.
We still listen to a big, giant range of stuff.
Do you write your own music?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's all original. We've got four full-length albums out now. I'm going to be releasing a fifth one probably this spring.
And where do you typically play? Southeast, south?
We play all over the country. We've yet to do a full-fledged West Coast tour, but it's coming in the spring. We got Stagecoach this spring and some other stuff, which is going to be awesome. Yeah, all over. We've been road dogs since day one. We try to keep the roads hot and travel as much as we can. We love it.
How do you travel?
Big giant van and a trailer.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Big 15-passenger van. for now. Hopefully making that leap to the bus soon, but the van has been our way of life for a long time.
Learjet is next after that.
Yeah, hopefully so. Or two or three, you know.
So again, today, who do you most admire?
Who do I most admire?
Yeah, musical groups.
A lot of my favorite bands are some of those early 2000s all-country names that I sort of missed the boat on. I discovered them later in my life after a lot of them had already disbanded and broken up, and bands like Slobberbone. I love Lucero. I love Drive-By Truckers. There was a time in my late teens when I discovered all that stuff, kind of late to the party, but it really resonated with me. It showed me that you could be a country band that's really rooted in a country sound, but still have those loud, overdriven electric guitars. Some of those elements that really poke out when you hear those bands are that it's a country song at its heart, but there's so much more going on there. The big loud rock drums.
Yeah, it's raw.
The distorted guitars, the way they deliver the vocal, you know what I mean, is a lot of times kind of different than what you think about in traditional country music. And
dig a little deeper on the vocals.
Sure, yeah. I mean, when you think great country singers, you think about the really pure sounds of a George Jones or Randy Travis. And then you listen to a Drive-By Truckers record, and that same level of polished, pristine vocal ability is not there, but it's something that's raw, and it's real, and it's honest, and I think that's a really important part of what makes a great country song, is honesty. Just in the way that you, not just the lyrics, but the way that you deliver it.
That's what I was going to say, the delivery is a little bit different, but it's the same, you know.
Sure, it's the same spirit, you know what I mean?
So, a little naive and a little obscure, but would a metaphor be that it's an instrument, another instrument, the voice?
Sure, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And stylistically, it can be very, very different from one person to the next and still achieve the same. It can still, you know, people are going to latch onto it in a lot of the same ways. Yeah. Some of my favorite singers, you know, I pride myself on my ability as a vocalist, but some of my favorite singers are not necessarily great singers, you know, guys like John Prine or, you know, Willie Nelson for that matter, kind of always had an unusual voice.
So again, there's that authenticity from the heart that drives it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were you guys formally trained? Did you study music?
Or No, we all learned in our bedrooms with the door locked, just
not letting anybody see you.
Yeah, neglecting our homework and our chores and everything else so we could play guitar in the wee hours of the morning.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's how we came up. Everything we've ever done has just been sort of self-taught, and I think that's kind of another part of what makes us who we are, is that our sound's uniquely ours because we were the only people that really ever.
So you made up your own
rules. What to play.
You made up your own rules.
I think so. Yeah.
How you play the instrument.
That's how it feels anyway. I
mean, yeah, and a lot of it's stuff that you come back around to, and as you learn more, you know, in terms of how music goes and why it is the way it is, and music theory and stuff like that, you realize you've been doing a lot of these things unconsciously without having any knowledge or, you know, the terminology and things like that. It was just always what felt and sounded right.
Kind of instinct.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Absorbed it, kind of.
Do you guys ever, watching another band, you ever get this epiphanous, oh my God, you know?
Every band I watch. All the time. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's huge moments of inspiration that we've had here at this festival particularly. This is really where we've got our first. You know, this is our hometown fest, basically. We're from right up the road. And for all of us growing up, this is the first place that we got to see, you know, national touring acts, you know, a dozen at a time here at this festival, as opposed to just a one and done coming to Freedom Hall or coming to wherever. So, yeah, we've always been lovers of other live acts and seeing how we can implement some of the things they're doing, or how we can draw inspiration from the sounds that they make, the way they act on stage, the way they talk, the way they walk. There's always stuff like that, you know what I mean, that strikes you, and a lot of that's happened here at Bristol Rhythm.
And how do you, best way that you guys are to make a living so you don't have to get a day job?
Yeah, sure. This is the best possible scenario. There's no better way to pay your bills than playing your songs. It's a real honor. We worked for a long time to get to this point where none of us are working day jobs anymore. For years, you know, we were still working our tails off when we weren't touring, and as soon as you're done with the work week, it's time to head back out on tour, and it was a lot to juggle. Yeah. And now we got a lot more freedom to just sort of be really exclusively focused and centered on 49. So That's allowed us to take a great big leap in the last year or so, or a couple of years.
Are you able to make any money, Spotify, online, or is
sure?
It,
yeah.
It's been doing
it's always
really
nice.
Well.
Actually, this morning we passed a milestone. We're 500,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, so that's a cool thing. We've been looking forward to hitting that 500K mark for a while, and looking forward to 1 million after that. But the way that streaming has sort of played into things is pretty interesting. It has its pros and cons, but it's always nice to see that, you know, several million people have access to what you're doing.
That's really cool.
At the click of a button, you know what I mean? And, yeah. And they're finding it all over the world now and all over the country and latching onto it. And it's been a big part of how we were able to expand our touring base out west and further south than we are and everywhere else. Is so it's a blessing, I think, overall, the way that streaming versus physical record sales is
right.
Sort of
That's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. We know that it's not, you're probably not making the same amount of money that you would have back in the days of selling records and selling physical copies, but your base can be so much overnight, you know,
just blow
a
up
a big hit that, mm-hmm. that has a killer video on YouTube or whatever it might be. There's just so many
one
ways
spark.
That yeah mm-hmm. there's definitely a lot of quick accessibility to a bigger fan base that didn't exist, you know.
Well, and that being said, it makes sense that instant social media presence in all the different platforms is essential to you guys.
It is.
Dig a little deeper in that. How
it is,
do you
to a degree.
How do you do it?
You know, we're not really the kinds of guys that are really super active in the social media stuff. You know, we're not on TikTok. I don't make a lot of videos of myself playing or anything like that. But, you know, there's a fan group online. As long as we've been in this business, that's sort of the way to keep tabs on your favorite bands mm-hmm. and where they're touring and, you know, when the new music's coming out and everything else. So it's integral. I mean, it's a part of this business as much as anything is social media management and continuing to grow your fan base that way.
Is Instagram works for you?
Sure, yeah. Oh, Instagram, yeah. Facebook, a little bit of Twitter, not a lot. but yeah, it's not something that I'm myself really heavily involved in. Chase, our bass player, kind of runs most of our social media stuff and always has. But yeah, it's been a big help. I mean, it is. It's a great way to expand your horizons and get people seeing you all over the world.
Yeah. It's an ever-changing landscape, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, think about TikTok 4 years ago.
Sure.
It wasn't there.
No, and people weren't using it. And even when it was first, you know, around, people weren't using it in the same way that they are now to promote their music or their invention or their whatever, some yeah. product or anything. So, yeah, there's a lot of power in it for sure.
Do you have a website that works for you?
We do, 49winchester.com.
That's pretty simple.
Yep. I think the longer you're in this business, the more you get a feel for what those secrets are and yeah. how things have to be done and how they have to take place to really succeed at a high level. So mm-hmm. that's stuff that we've mostly picked up in the last year. I'd say our fan base has probably grown 10 times
wow.
since this time last year.
That's
at Bristol Rhythm.
That's pretty
yeah.
powerful.
Bristol felt like a real kind of coming of age thing for us last year. Big
yeah.
crowd, killer set. That was a big boost, a big burst of wind in our sales, we felt like. And coming into it this year, we're really, really excited to get back out there on the State Street stage and make it happen tonight.
Cool. And some of the other venues, you'd go to Cookeville, to Blues and Brews? Or
I never have been there. Been all over the place for the most part up here in Northeast Tennessee and Central Appalachia. And we've played a whole lot all up and down the East Coast and started breaking out into some of the Western markets this year on tour with Whiskey Myers. That was another really cool thing, being able to open up for a band that's already got a broader, more established fan base, and getting in front of their fans every night was a really cool thing for us this summer. It helped us grow a whole lot.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
You go to 49winchester.com, check us out there. You can check us out on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Find our tour schedule and all that stuff there. 49winchester.shop if you want to buy your grandma something nice for Christmas. My name is Isaac Gibson.
And I'm Buzz Shelton.
Awesome. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Tennessee, and Bristol, Virginia. We'll see you here.
And I have traveled far and wide, and I have died and lived and flown through time and space.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundationathearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
And if you wonder how I'm doing, know that I am doing fine, but I wish I was in Virginia on the Russell County line.